You're listening to New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Kilby, XV, Lady Rick, Bweebum, with Rob Springer.
Hey, everybody. It's your old friend, John DeLuna. Welcome to New Soundwave. We are recording live on the internet, and joining me is my favorite Rob Springer, the Rob Springer, also known as Robo-Rob, if you run in certain circles, Peter, a.k.a. Bweebum, and the fantastic XV, also intermittently, here and there, sporadically, he comes and goes, Brian Kilby.
Not really.
Is at the helm. He just came and went.
Not yet.
See what he did there? He's here, but he's not.
Brian Kilby has come himself.
He's floating.
Yes, Kilby has come himself. That is another podcast for another day. If we want really
title came
traffic,
from.
We may do that podcast. I'm just saying.
Actually, XV is totally right. That is where we got the name of this podcast.
Oh, yeah, it is. How about that? Yeah, I guess, you know what? Hey, Brian, before you leave, regale our New Soundwave audience with how New Soundwave came to get its name.
New Soundwave, of course, we were trying to think of a name for our spinoff podcast, and we couldn't, so XV said New Soundwave, which is the name of Sound Blaster from the horrible Omni Productions Headmaster's Dub.
It's not horrible, it's awesome.
I love it, but it's horrible. That's why.
It's so good, it's so bad, it's good.
Yeah, so like all the characters, you know, like Blur is Wally, Blaster is Billy, Raiden is Bruce, isn't he? So, I mean, it's like they all have these awful, awful names.
Well, wasn't he sometimes Grimlock?
I don't remember. In the Master Force dub, Minerva was Nightbeat.
Which was great.
Yeah.
So, they call me Nightbeat.
But so it's just, you know, so we just took the name New Soundwave because we love that. And it kind of could be anything. So that's, here we are.
If I recall, because New Soundwave was originally the General Geeky podcast, and you were saying it's what you wanted RFC to be when you first started it, so it was kind of like the evolution.
And we stopped that after a while, didn't we?
Yeah, that didn't work.
Yes, but most importantly, we managed to get the Power Rangers spinoff podcast from that before we changed focus.
Well, yeah, so it was all worth it.
Yes.
It's funny, from one spinoff, every idea that was in General became its own show.
Hey,
and it's been off network.
And you know, our show, Screen View, is going to start here in a couple months, I think. So that's going to be the show.
Yeah, right.
It will, I promise. I will make it
coming
happen.
Soon.
It will happen.
That's going to be just like Get the Skinny.
We just got to get our heads back together. And
We just got to stop being adults and find time to do things again.
That's right. We just need to quit our jobs and be all right with part-time work.
Here's our new show, Throwing Beer Balls at Rob. Look at that one go.
I'd watch it.
These fly farther. American used to be for flags.
So this is New Soundwave 72. This is the video game podcast. You may notice, if you're watching the video feed, or if you go to our website at tfradio.net, which is a fantastic website, we've kind of rebranded ourselves. So it's a lot more obvious that we're a video game podcast. I'm just saying. We're doing the trendy thing, guys. We're all 8-bit and awesome, because 8-bit is better than whatever the billion bits they are these days the kids are playing with. So yeah, if you look, we've got a new logo, we've got a new look, and you'll be able to like look at our logo and tell what the hell we talk about, which I think is a good thing. I think that's a strength. So this is New Soundwave 72. On today's show, we're going to talk about the 3DS. We're going to talk about WWE All-Stars and Mortal Kombat 9 demos. It was a big week for demos. And then we're going to talk about some other good stuff, including a raunchy, too hot for America piece of box art that we had to tweak a little bit so we could sell it here. And off that, we'll actually talk a little bit about Mortal Kombat 9 again. I think that'll make a good topic, because in Australia, Mortal Kombat 9 is extremely illegal as of right now. You can't even import it or you'll get arrested. I'm not lying. So the top story, the first story, is the 3DS. The 3DS is being released this Sunday.
Wow.
Time flies for a cool $250. And if that sounds pricey, you should probably go to Toys R Us, because they are offering buy one, get one half off on games. So I guess that helps a little bit. They'll save you about $20. But still, okay, so Rob, you are our resident Game Boy fanatic. I assume you're going to get a 3DS, but are you going to get one soon-ish?
It'll probably be a couple of months, maybe toward the end of the year when I get one. I just got its timing is not good. But yeah, I am all over this, like white on rice when it happens.
Is anybody else into this? Is anybody else excited about this kind of stuff? I don't know if anybody else is a big Game Boy gamer.
The Nintendo fanboys have went all ape crap over this, obviously. But and when you stop and say, well, of course they did. Just remember how many gamers are Nintendo fanboys. That's quite a lot. Even like this, even the Sony and Xbox fanboys are like, yeah, Sony for life. Ooh, DS time.
Yeah. It's like, hold on, I'll be right back. Okay, so related to the DS. So earlier this year and in late last year, 2010, we had like this weird period of stories. First, the first story broke was that the 3DS was no good if you were under 6. It would make you blind. It would ruin your life. It would smash your brain. Just not good for you because for whatever reason, just, you know, the 3D technology, too much for 6-year-old brains. Then within a couple of weeks, we actually got the complete opposite saying, no, actually, it's not bad for kids and kids should in fact play it. Why? Because it makes us money. Now on the heels of the release, not only is it not bad for your kids, but now we've got a study that it's actually good and it actually may help diagnose vision problems in your kids, depending on how they, you know, see the 3D. So we've gone all the way from the 3DS is bad for your children, hide your kids, to you really need a DS because, you know, it may change your kid's life for the better forever. Who knows what, you know, actually happen once this hits the shelves. But yes, I'm not lying. In fact, to kind of expand on this. So according to the American Optometric Association. Yeah,
Optologic?
It says optometric.
I don't know. I'm not reading the same article.
Let's go with that. How about that?
Yeah, let's go with that one. That one sounds cool.
From the Associate Director for Health Sciences and Policy, a very serious man. He says, quote, the 3DS could be a godsend for identifying kids under 6 who need vision therapy. A godsend. And again, a $250 godsend. So if your kid doesn't see the 3D effect on the 3DS, it could be a sign that he or she may have a vision disorder, things like lazy eye or even a subtle problem with just kind of depth perception. If they experience dizziness or discomfort when they play the 3DS, one, bad purchase. Two, they should probably see a doctor quickly. Interesting stuff. So the 3DS may be coming to eye clinics near you. Yeah, you know, hey. So also in the news, the opposite of the 3DS, in other words, the opposite of financial success, the Xperia Play, the PlayStation phone. And we've gotten our first taste of what the marketing is going to look like for the PlayStation phone. I'm actually going to paste the link to the commercials in live chat. You really should be digesting and enjoying New Soundwave live in the chat every Wednesday night. Why? Because you get to see demonic videos of average-looking women, sorry, lady, hawking the PlayStation phone. So while you're listening to New Soundwave, please, everybody in the chat, kind of take a look at this. So if you're asking yourself, how are they marketing the PlayStation phone? Well, of course, they make no mention of it actually being, quote, a PlayStation phone. It's all about the Xperia Play. It's all about the video games. Some of the things that they thought were good in these commercials were demonic eyes, demon voices. Let's see here. I think midget dwarfs. I think she's a dwarf. She's certainly not a mage or a warrior. She's a dwarf. So,
midget dwarf?
A midget dwarf.
Which would be what, this tall?
Which is exactly
is it
what
a midget slash dwarf or is it a midget comma dwarf?
It is, let's see, it's a midget dwarf with a crossbow and a bad wig. So clearly.
Man, your toes are in
you
trouble.
You want to buy a PlayStation. Anyway, yeah, I'm not lying. So yeah, the guys
that's
in the chat.
That's a really specific fetish right there.
Oh, God.
So yeah,
won't
so,
even fit in there.
This is one of those things. This is one of those things. I mean, this is we've talked about this actually a few times in the last year or so. It's like a guaranteed fail. It's like an epic fail. So I guess there's like no faulting them for doing like crazy wild ass advertising because you know. I mean, I guess
will
it's
be
like
most remembered for.
You know what reminds me of these commercials?
Mm.
They remind me of the bizarreness of the Verizon, you know, Android-based commercials. Like, those are just like, well, these are
I don't
really
want to hold that on my head.
Semi-scary, semi-weird. Then they took the funny Sony Kevin Butler commercials, you know, the spokesperson for Sony. Yeah. And then they took the Palm Pre creepiness commercials and rolled them all into one, and nothing good came out of it.
Yes. This is what we get. This is what we got. Hey, Alba64 in the chat brings up a good point that Sony's kind of lately had in the last 10 years or so, just kind of like weird taste in commercials. So the PS3 had like bleeding walls, giant spikes, a really like soul-draining baby staring at you.
You know,
doll baby soul-draining.
This kind of goes back to the PlayStation 1, if you think about it. You remember all the You're Not Ready commercials, or it's just flashes of light and images, and like they used to have that silver guy that was like a, I don't know if it's going to be a mascot or what, but for a while there was like a silver head on all the signs. It's like, you are not ready. And it's like a ready. And it's like, can I play Tetris on this or what? What is this thing? Yeah, they've always been kind of vague with it, you know. Like they got a new really ironic commercial for the PSP where it's like, thank you, PSP, for letting me play outside. And they're like, thank you for making games for gamers. You know, they do all this and
wait,
it's like, wow.
Games for the PSP?
Exactly. There's the irony. Thank you, PSP, for making games for gamers. Apparently, gamers don't play games.
They just sit there. They just sit outside, apparently. Wait, yes. Like, hey, Rick.
Here's the new Sony phone commercial. In a world where I can do everything on my phone but use it. Hi. Oh, sorry. Crash Bandicoot started by accident. Shit.
So this week
thing?
Was a big week in demos, actually, and there's a couple of signature ones that came out, huge, highly anticipated demos that we can talk about for a minute. First of all, is Mortal Kombat 9, which we'll talk about later in the show. Pretty good. It's actually really robust for a demo. There's four characters that you can play: Sub-Zero, Scorpion, Johnny Cage, and Melina. There are some fatalities in the demo, which is nice. I do got to say, after playing a little bit of Mortal Kombat 9, I don't know if this makes me an old man or just not 10 years old. It's one or the other. But Mortal Kombat 9 is bloody, and it's almost kind of like distractingly bloody. And the only reason I have a problem with that is, so like literally after like a handful of punches and kicks, like your opponent's jaw may be like hanging by a thread during the fight. You know, he can still, like, fight even though his arm's almost, you know, falling off.
I can fight, but I don't want to.
Right. Yeah. I can chew my food still, but I choose not to. Like, my chin's not, my jaw's not broken. So the only problem I have with that is when it gets around to the fatalities, you're so desensitized to the violence. Like, the fatalities are kind of, like, tedious. Like, it's not like this, oh, freak out, like, jump in gore. Because the whole game is gory. It's like one long 2-minute fatality. Like, the whole fight is a fatality. Really? It's like, these people are dying right in front of me. So, again, I don't know if this just...
Saving Private Ryan in a video game.
Yes.
They still
live. Yeah. So, you know, seeing Scorpion do the spine rip, not so special anymore when, like, the guy's already missing, like, two of his limbs. You know, well, like, round two was a fatality.
It works out because, like, how many guys could pull off those fatalities regularly without failing 50 times in a row? So it's like, I didn't get, well, you know what? I don't care if I missed it. I mean, his ear is on the floor.
Yeah. It's like my guy just ate his ear. And that was, like, before the fight.
That's a fatality. Eating up all of the limbs that have fallen on the ground.
That he may have won, but, you know, he ain't happy. He has got a sucky life ahead of him.
The other big demo of this week was WWE All-Stars, which is very highly anticipated. And it is awesome. Now, I don't know if any of you guys have had a chance to download this, but this is clearly a game that was made for wrestling fans and non-wrestling fans. It's probably the most mainstream wrestling game since WrestleMania, which, gosh, is probably 10 years old by now, something like that.
I think so.
Yep.
unbelievable. Time flies. So yeah, WWE All-Stars has two main generations, the 80s stars and for the most part the late 90s stars with a couple of contemporary people kind of thrown in. For the most part, very accessible. It's essentially like a four-button fighter. It's really a lot more like a standard fighting game than it is a wrestling game. You know, you can do juggles in the air. You can juggle your opponent in the air. The most complicated special moves are literally like pressing two buttons and holding them down. So, you know, it's very, very accessible. It actually, here's the greatest accomplishment, I will say. And this is for the wrestling fans. It actually makes Hulk Hogan's leg drop look good. It actually looks like a finisher.
Wow.
Which is a feat in and of itself. Yes. So
you're saying they made a wrestling game that's fun to play?
It's unheard of. I know.
I know. It's like, hey, let's try to make this an exact, you know, how about all these SmackDown games? Just let's make this a super realistic sports simulation of a made-up sport.
Yeah, and
let's make Smash Brothers. Yeah. Let's make Smash Brothers for wrestlers.
That's right.
So what you're saying is that basically most wrestling games are like soap opera simulators.
No, it's like Madden with like wrestlers, but here they're like, hey, remember when wrestling games are fun when you just punched a honky-tonk man? Yeah, let's do that again.
I've got an NES game.
Yeah, let's put Kofi Kingston in it. We said All-Stars, not the guy I won't remember in 5 years.
No, that's true, yeah. There's some people that are kind of like foisted upon you. Kofi's one, Jack Swagger's another. Like, really? This is kind of a waste of pixels. Like,
oh, Jack, really? You couldn't have put like, I don't know, something I wanted to see? Because, you know, it's All-Stars.
Something good?
Well, no, John, we just aren't. It's not All-Stars, it's All-Stars. Like, all, you know, all of them.
Like him, too. It's him, too. Yes, somebody asked in the chat, is it fun? It is incredibly fun, and it's fun-based, I would say. It's more based in fun than reality or even, like, say, giving these characters I would say a respectful recreation. I mean, everybody's kind of over the top and their characters are already over the top. This is like 80s wrestling characters, but it's an over the top rendition of those characters. So it's really good. That's all I got to say. Really, really fun. Yes. And Rob has an Ultimate Warrior. Is that a Dingo Warrior?
It's Ultimate Warrior Slushy Cup or Icy Cup.
Nice. Nice.
I've had it since it came. Yeah,
Rob, I, and Brian Kilby really want to do a wrestling segment or two on Outside the Cage, which is one of our sister shows. You should go to tfradio.net and actually take a listen. But we really do need to do a run in wrestling. And if I get an Xbox like the rest of the world, maybe we can do some live gameplay of stuff like this, or at least test out the demo live on New Sound Wave or on a weekend. Anyway. The bottom line is WWE All-Stars is awesome. I went from being a skeptic to I'm absolutely going to get it on the first day of its release, and it's coming out this summer. Okay, a couple more stories, and then we'll get to the topic. Square Enix has shipped 5.3 million copies of Dragon Quest IX. It looks like a hit, boys. So, perhaps looking around for some good news, Square Enix has been kind of down in the dumps lately. They have announced that as of the end of December, Dragon Quest IX has shipped 5.3 million copies worldwide, and that is since its release in the middle of 2009. Most of those copies were shipped to Japan, of course. About a million were shipped outside of Japan. So Dragon Quest IX is one of those franchises that keeps going and going and going and going. Here's an interesting story. And it's not exactly spoilers, but in case you didn't notice, gaming communities, gamers, are full of hate. They like to get their hate on. So here's an interesting study, so to speak, that actually looked at different types of groups that visit sites like Penny Arcade. And this is specifically about the Penny Arcade community. So some of the interactions that have been noted on community boards for gamers have been described as outright hateful, confrontational, also marginalizing of Muslims, African Americans, gays, women, human beings, non-human beings, every category of life in the universe. So, you know, the aim of this study was not to demonize individuals that, you know, spout hate speech, although I don't see anything wrong with that. It was actually, you know, just to kind of get a gauge on, is it just perception that gamers are mean and kind of snippy, or is it real?
Oh, it's real. So, it's damn real,
buddy. It's real. So, yeah, a survey of the gaming community has, you know, found an inordinate number of instances of, like I said, essentially hate speech. And it's, you know, the article here, which is found in Gambit.com. Actually, it's an MIT article on their site called Gambit. It's a game lab site. Actually, you know, they don't offer, I would say, any solutions, just more of like, you know, we've taken a survey, we've done a survey. It was kind of talked about at PAX East, which is the Penny Arcade, big Penny Arcade convention. But, you know, it's real. The hate speech is real. And I, you know, I'll ask Rob and XB, and Peter, you can chime in too. One of the things that we were involved with when we were younger, not necessarily was video game community boards, but they were Transformers community boards. And I seem to remember when we were younger that it was a little, I wouldn't call it hate speech. Sometimes it was hate speech, but I'm not going to call it like, you know, in general. But it seems like when we were younger, we were of a certain age, and maybe gamers are more of this age, the ones that are on those video boards. But when we were younger, it was certainly a little bit more, I guess, fiery on those kind of boards. And it seems like we've kind of mellowed out as we've aged. So, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't it seem like that when we were younger? I mean, we really probably said some things that we kind of regretted, or at least
yes, we should.
Well, so, I said things. I'm not sure I regret them, but I said things.
Yeah, under things different aliases, luckily.
Yeah. Well, you can't prove that.
I mean, I think it's true, right? I mean, I think it's just like teenagers say stuff on the internet. You kind of got to get used to it, right?
Well,
go ahead, Rob.
It might not be just teenagers, because if you stop and think about it, it's easy to blame it on youth, and, you know, maturing. It's easy to blame it on there, but stop and remember, for every guy that matures and stops doing it, there's another guy still doing it. There's still a comic book guy worth the game ever doing it. And, you know, it's like, who's literally telling you, well, that's just your opinion, man, I don't like it. Well, your opinion's wrong. You know, just so it's just, I think there's a degree between maturity and just narcissism. Be honest with you, because I mean, when you get into the dork world, you get some mentally banged up people.
I don't know if it's more of mentally banged up or just mentally
not working right.
Well, here's a big part of it too.
Shield.
Just like the internet has given anyone who wants it a voice now, it's also served to really screw up the social development of a lot of people. So there's a lot of people who would grow out of that and don't.
Well, like for us, or at least John and I, the internet didn't really start becoming that big of a factor till what, late teens?
And then you got, I think that's right.
Yeah, so it's like we had, you know, the internet was there, but it's like, what, you used it at school every blue moon until like late teens, it became an everyday thing. Now these kids, I mean, the guys that are teenagers in early 20s now, it was always there.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, for us, it was like, hey, this is the removal from reality. For them, it's, no, this is reality. And I just found that kid's Facebook page and I just sent his social security number so I just to get him. You know, there might be something to it.
Yeah, I agree.
Plus, I think that this study focusing on this phenomenon just in the gaming community is kind of a narrow vision, because this is basically just the internet.
Yeah.
Honestly. Well, that's true.
Sadly. As someone who really enjoys Nintendo games over other ones and has to hear the whole hardcore gamer malarkey, blah, blah, you know, I like to touch myself on the shoulder. It's usually a 14-year-old who bought an M-rated game who's the hardcore gamer that's telling you. It's either that or the guy who only plays World of Warcraft, and that's it. These are hardcore gamers. It's like everyone else who's gamers like, yeah, I didn't like that one. Did you? Yeah. I mean, go to GameStop and have a conversation.
I'd really rather not. But
no, it varies. You'll get the hardcore gamer who's like, oh, that was terrible. You shouldn't like those things that you like that I don't. Blah, 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 blah. And then you get the other guy who's like, probably got more hours on his... He's on his third Xbox where he's done red ringed a billion of them. And he's probably like, you know what? I really didn't like that one, but I did like that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's a big veritable to it.
Yeah. Right, and that's going to be present in any online community. It's not just limited to the video games.
Yeah, you're removed from me, so I can say, yeah, you like Wii, you like a kitty device. Yeah, well, you're petting a cat now. Shut up.
You know, another thing that actually we're talking about in chat right now is the ability now to play people online from your home. And so, you know, you have the microphone, you've got email, essentially. And so you get, like, tons of, like, hate mail and epic profanity if you're brave enough to use your microphone, your headset when you're playing. It doesn't have to be, like, Call of Duty or Street Fighter 4. It could probably be anything. Heck, it could probably be Uno. I've heard literally like Uno on the Xbox gets incredibly like profane and crazy. And that's something I'm going to be an old man here. That's something that really didn't happen in the arcades back in the day. Why? Because the guy's standing right next to you. So if you say like the wrong thing, you're either
going
to get shot.
You're going home with five less teeth.
Yeah. You're going to wake up in a tub missing your kidneys. Yeah. This is not good. But the ability to like play online, we can say anything because you know, who is this profane jerk Robo-Rob? Like, he says, like, the worst things. Like, I can't, like, nightmare fuel. And Rob in his apartment just, like, cackling and, you know, just giving the double thumbs up, giving the double bird.
Chances are, if that's me on Uno, you saw it was a GIF.
So that's another twist. Like, you just can't get away from it. You know what you can't get away from is Australia's insane rules on Mortal Kombat 9, and that is our topic for this week. I'm going to lead the topic with the latest example in censorship, just to not beat up too much on Australia, and I'm going to paste this live into our chat. But Dead or Alive is a fighting game that's famous for scantily clad women.
And its physics models.
So realistic.
Yeah, interesting physics. It's interesting physics. It takes a break. It takes a break from physics.
Those girls have already defeated themselves by running. My back hurts. I'm not fighting you.
I just hit myself.
I just hit myself in the chin.
Actually, yeah. if you really want to see something absurd, go back and play the original game. It was 1,000 times worse.
Nice. You're right.
They would actually float around and...
That's awesome.
Was that a fatality move?
No.
So in the chat,
every single move.
Oh, my back. I am not.
See, Brian Kilby, ladies and gentlemen, our ace producer. When it comes to, like, you know, virtual boobs, it's right there, right on the spot.
Yeah, I know, okay, my virtual boobs.
Chiming in. Okay, so what I posted in the chat, which will lead us into Mortal Kombat, you'll see where I'm going in a minute. So the artwork for the cover of Dead or Alive Dimensions for the 3DS. Had to be censored. The game hits the U.S. in May. And the cover, if I can describe, this is going to be thrilling for radio. So if I'm going to describe it in perfect Dead or Alive fashion, it's a girl doing a high kick. She's doing a high kick towards you. And she's doing a high kick that's so high, you can kind of see the goods. I'm just going to put it there. You know, she's kind of
hardcore gamers.
She's kind of showing off the goods a little bit. That's how it was intended to be. But apparently that was too hot for the United States. So they made the game maker, the artists, go back and kind of cover up the goods a little bit more. And so she's doing a high kick, but she's more clothed when she's doing the high kick.
Not exactly. So, yes. It's more that it's just shifted over an inch or so.
So let's say like her loincloth kind of moved a little bit. It moved a little up and over. How about that? And so you can see it. It's a little less suggestive, but it's still a quote-unquote scantily clad Japanese woman doing a high kick at you. And she's
that happens in everyday life, though.
That happens. Yeah, that's like my Tuesdays. Right, I gotta dodge like this high kick while kind of sneaking a peek. Anyway, okay, so like I was saying,
but it's okay for John Cena to wear a thong.
It definitely happens.
In a box.
Right.
It definitely happens in Australia. And boy, does it. So Mortal Kombat 9, we talked about this earlier in the show. Mortal Kombat 9 is extremely violent, like extremely violent. And this isn't the first time that Mortal Kombat has kind of run into the long arm of the law. When the original Mortal Kombat came out, it came under heavy scrutiny in the United States. It even prompted the government to hold hearings on Mortal Kombat. And it was actually the first time Joseph Lieberman kind of came to prominence, because he was Mr. Anti-Mortal Kombat. He was completely against Mortal Kombat. Joseph Lieberman should move to Australia, because in Australia, they have outlawed, literally outlawed, Mortal Kombat 9, because it's so violent that it doesn't qualify for any of Australia's game ratings. Australia, unlike much of the world, they don't have a game rating for 18 up. 18 plus. So apparently, and essentially they don't have an X rating for video games. Many countries do, but they don't. And since they felt, and you can't argue really, they felt that Mortal Kombat fits an X rated rating, they couldn't allow it in their country. So they deemed it illegal. And you can't even import it, because that's illegal. It's banned from their country. If you import it and you get caught, you will get fined up to $500,000.
Wow.
So this still happens in the world. And it just brings up an interesting discussion that, I mean, is there such thing, and, you know, I don't want to be like a bunch of old men here. I mean, is there such a thing as too violent of a video game? I mean, do you guys think there's a point where it's just, you know, it's just too gratuitous, or it's just kind of stupid?
I think it works like horror movies have become, which is most appropriately described as torture porn. You know, that's going too far. And when you get into something like what you're describing Mortal Kombat 9 as, I think that's a little too far also.
You know, the newest Splatterhouse has a monster where after you beat him to death, he falls over and blood pours out of his anus. Yeah.
Now, see, that I'm okay with.
And you stop and say, it's like, you know, they used, like, the horror movies analogy that XV's using, they were all bloody as hell up to the mid-80s when the ratings board was, like, started issuing X ratings on the Friday the 13th and all that, and they had to really back down off the blood it and stuff. And I think in the UK they called it video nasties, movies that weren't allowed there because they're too bloody and gory. But now it's okay again, and no one cares. And then with their games, it was like, just like you're saying, Mortal Kombat, it was too bloody. Splatterhouse, that was in my showbiz pizza. And if you guys remember the hellstorm that was raised over that game with the blood and the upside-down cross boss, stuff like that. But now it's like, hey, you guys, I just bought my kid a shooter game X where he's spending all day shooting people point-blank in the face, and it's going everywhere.
It's interesting because it brings up, like, at least, okay, so here's an interesting comparison. So Australia freaks out about violence, and we freak out about probably a half inch of skin on the cover of Dead or Alive Dimensions. So it's really weird how in America we overreact to anything kind of sexual. But Mortal Kombat 9, sure, we have like $100 special editions of Mortal Kombat 9 on every street corner here.
Hey,
but we freak out at, you know, the upper thigh still.
Well, there's a little hypocrisy over that, or hypocrisy, that, you know, this girl with a little upper thigh scene, that's not appropriate. Hey, how about all those Final Fantasy games that the girl is wearing nothing but string the entire game? Yeah, that's fine. Don't
that's different. That's fantasy. This is fighting. People fight in real life, Rob.
I don't know about you, but I don't shoot fireballs out of my hand. And if I took one, get back up, I'm like, all right, let's keep it going. It's like, I'm done.
But just like John, John said,
you won.
You know, there are women who will randomly do a high kick at you while you walk to work in the morning. Nobody's gonna bring a 50-inch blade.
You're right. There is women that do high kicks and jump up in the air and stuff like that, and it happens as early as middle school, because it's the cheerleading squad that all of us saw more. You know what? We just called to Walmart on a Saturday during the summer, and I've already seen more. But at the same time, this is up to, I guess, playing it safe.
Man, unfortunately, I see more from a guy who runs every day outside in these shorts that are a little too short to be considered shorts.
It's the safe bet.
Oh my!
Thing. It's the safe bet
it's,
thing.
It's completely unflattering. But you're right. It's very hypocritical, and it's very
It's the safe bet thing because it's like there's one thing for us to see the variable that no one can control in real life, and there's another that you're at Walmart. There it is, right there, and little Jimmy's seeing it, and someone's going to complain.
Exactly.
It's Austin Power figures that people complained over there. Like, well, why'd you buy your kid that to begin with? Well, what's it doing at Toys R Us?
It's the same thing with Walmart that they would not be willing to sell a lyrically explicit CD, even if they say on the package in big letters, black and white, explicit content. They're like, no, that's not
I can tell you firsthand from working at a Walmart that people don't read anything printed on anything in that store.
Yeah, and then they blame the music industry or the video game industry or the books.
Or Walmart. Like, they just sue Walmart.
Yeah. We live in the same world where someone sued McDonald's over coffee being hot.
Yes.
Exactly. I didn't know that this book contained sex. Lady, the name of the book says book sex and lies. It's
why is
sex in this book? It's like
my teenaged minor is getting very sick from drinking a Four Loko. Well, it says you need to be at least 18 to drink this.
My kid is extremely hyper after chugging a can of six Red Bulls. What's happening here?
Hey,
I don't understand.
Lady, I get really hyper from chugging six cans of Red
Bulls. My kid had to download and then jail and then mod and then completely destroy their PS2 in order to play the hot coffee mod on San Andreas. This game should be
fast. Wasn't nearly that hard on a PS2.
Well, regardless, you had to go out and do it. You couldn't just go, click, and it would load.
Just because it's there gives someone the possibility to raise. Even if they don't have a case, they still have raised this massive crap storm that I'm sorry for like a retailer, and we got to stop thinking of how we see things. A retailer who wants everyone coming in, they're like, you know what? Just put an inch of skirt on there.
Rob, I'm so proud of you.
Just like, you know, yourself.
You just got to
say. Just fire up Photoshop and let's just save a headache, basically.
That's pretty much what they did. They just
added a church down the road that comes here every Sunday to buy stuff for the picnic, and I still want that money.
And really, the difference between the two examples that we started with is that on the Mortal Kombat 9 cover, you're probably not seeing somebody's arm falling off.
No, that's true. You're seeing like a couple of generic ninjas stare at each other.
Right.
No combat.
But dead or alive, you know, let's be honest. You see a suggested hooch. How about
that? Well,
I said it.
Go into the DVD section of your local Walmart and pick up Friday the 13th parts whenever. Why does it have the more respectable cover than, say, the newest teen comedy movie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's nothing respectable about the newest teen comedy movie.
It's like there's, let's see, some girl body part and some guy doing this around a corner of it, you know, from the producers of Super Crap or whatever. And then the Friday the 13th movie, which is going to outdo every sense of obscene, is just going to be like
It's a black field with a hockey mask on it or something.
Yeah, or the silhouette of him, you know, just like a drop of blood because he might kill someone. And usually the saran wrap has a price tag over that just to be on the safe side.
Yeah.
Don't see this till you get home.
It's an absolutely interesting debate. You know, one of the things that at least one high-ranking Australian official, who I believe is in the trade department, basically import-export department, he's called his country a laughingstock in that, you know, he said everybody's laughing at us over this Mortal Kombat thing. And you know, he wants them to have a special session to, you know, convene and essentially create that X-rated video game rating so they can just kind of put this behind them and get Mortal Kombat into the country. It's interesting, you know, I mean, it's interesting. And I think we kind of hit it a nail on the head when we talk about, you know, sex and violence and hypocrisy, and it's just kind of, you know, it's kind of a messy deal.
There's one other thing though.
What's that?
Vegemite.
Okay. No, besides that, You say Australia is one of the few countries that does not have an equivalent to an X rating in video games.
Yes.
The U.S. has had the adults-only rating as long as the rating system has been in place, but where do you actually go to buy a game like that? Because your major retailers don't really carry those rated games anyway.
That's true. That's a good point. You know what? I don't know what we did before the internet came around, because, you know, that's like the easiest, of course, like you just buy it on Amazon. I guarantee you it's one of those things where if the game is high profile enough, if the sales are worth it, I'm sure enough retailers probably, you know, kind of put their principles aside for a little bit and put that big Mortal Kombat display out there. I mean, here's an example that some people may not realize, but Hasbro made Mortal Kombat toys. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Mortal Kombat fits with Hasbro's values, but they made it work because they smelled money. It happens.
Stop and just think about the irony there, the delicious mocha-flavored irony. No, little Jimmy, Mortal Kombat is X-rated and gory and blah, blah, blah. Yes, you can get the G.I. Joe action figure.
Yes, absolutely. Same thing. Yes, you can get Blanka and M. Bison, and yes, they have the same bodies. And yes, I'm a toy dork, and I notice these things. They also had the O-rings, I think. I'm just saying.
Yes.
We're all toy dorks. That's why
we
know
they reuse some of those parts occasionally. That's true. Still.
That's true. Yeah, I know. Yeah, so we went from talking kind of like a high-level conversation on sex and violence in society to talking about O-rings and Blanka. Hasbro Blanka, because that's what we do. That's what we do. I think that's a good point to end the show. Good talk, guys. Like I said, if Australia does anything on Mortal Kombat, we'll certainly talk about it on New Soundwave. And of course, when Mortal Kombat comes out, you can bet your ass we'll have a full review. And it's only going to get gorier, I'm sure, in the full game. And we'll see if John is still like an old fuddy-duddy, or if I've gotten desensitized to like the super 2011 violence and I actually like the game. We'll see. But until then, this was New Soundwave 72, I believe. I do hope you enjoyed the show. And check out tfradio.net for the rest of our sister shows. All kinds of good stuff. The Mothership Show, RFC, which is all about Transformers. New Soundwave, Superhero Time. Fanboy versus Outside the Cage, RFC Throwback, every now and then, RFC maybe. Throwback. Check it out, maybe every now and then, maybe. But like I said, do check it out, tfradio.net. Until next week, until New Soundwave 73, for XV, for Peter, for Rob, for the in and out Brian Kilby, who's steering the ship silently, I am your host, John Silently.
Brian Kilby's in and out of your mom.
Coming silently. In
Brian Kilby is in the background going to stab you in the neck.
Yeah. This whole time he's been twirling like a scorpion chain, like from Mortal Kombat. He's going to get us one of these times.
He's going to get us to get over there.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to say, come over here.
Come here.
Over there. Get over there.
Or get over here, either one.
Come over here.
He says, that's come right. here or get over here. Or come over. Come here is
get
one.
Over here.
Get over here is the other, yeah.
Oh, man.
See, come here.
Things.
Like I got hugs for you.
I'm more of a Baraka guy note, like myself.
I said, this is New Soundwave 72. I'm your host, John DeLuna, and we'll see you next week.
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Kilby, XV, Lady Rick, Gweebum, with Rob Springer. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. Like the podcast? Tell your friends. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010 Radio Free Cybertron.